Well, good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm recovering from being selfish and abusive. Thank you, worship team. So tonight, you've got a handout, and on the handout, it has an acrostic that we'll be going through, and we're going to be talking about the whole topic of victory. So this is Principle 5 and Steps 6 and 7. And at the start, I'm just going to have us all repeat out loud some of the principles and the Bible verses. And the reason that we do this is that, you know, when I come into recovery, I have faulty thinking. And that faulty thinking has created bad habits. And so when I confront my faulty thinking with correct thinking, it starts to get me on a new path. So let's start out and just read this together. Principle 5, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life, and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5, 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4, 10. So we've been going through these steps, and on step 3, you know, we started to admit that we had some issues, that maybe we had some patterns in our life or character defects. In step 4, we started to make a fearless and moral inventory of what those things were. We're trying to take account of our own behavior, or maybe we're taking account of harm that other people have caused us. If you've been victimized and you've been hurt, you're going to be making a list of that. We found someone that we trusted, and we've shared our inventory with that person. And then we're starting to get ready to look at our character defects and ask God to remove those defects. On your handouts, the first acrostic letter is V, and V is voluntarily submit. There should be a scripture verse that follows that. Let's read that out loud. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. Let God transform you inwardly by complete change of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So there's a part that I have. I'm supposed to be voluntarily submitted to God and voluntarily submitted to His will. So that means that I have to stop making all the decisions for my own life. I have to stop and ask God, you know, God, what would you want me to do today? God, what would you want me to do with these people in my life that have harmed me? You know, how am I going to forgive people that have harmed me? I need some help to do that, but I have to kind of submit to your plan. So when we're in recovery, we're asked to do things, and if we're not in the proper frame of mind, it's not going to work. When I first came into recovery, you know, I had been caught viewing pornography. So I was given an ultimatum, you know, go to recovery or you'll get no more sex. And so for a man, that was a compelling offer. I thought, well, this is easy. I'll just show up, put my time in. But if my attitude is not to submit to change, if my attitude is, well, I got caught and I'm not really sorry for it, then there's not going to be much change in my life. There's not going to be any real victory in my life if I'm not going to volunteer to God's plan for my life. So, I mean, each one of us are here for different reasons. We might have caused harm to others, or we might have ourselves been harmed. But the way to get healed is really to submit to God and to what He's asking us to do. You know, in recovery, especially Christ-centered recovery, we believe that there's a spiritual battle going on. So we do have an adversary that wants to destroy us and destroy our relationships. So his plan for our lives is chaos, brokenness, selfishness, and not submitting. So we can listen to that voice in our head, or we can start to listen to God's voice and God's plan for our lives. And sometimes you'll need to get some perspective on how to find out which voice to listen to. So showing up like you are on a Wednesday night, coming to a big group like this, being open to teaching, is a wonderful step that's going to help you start to submit to the right things that God has for you. Going to small group where you can confess, you know, what your faults are, will help you identify your character defects and is also going to help you stay in your recovery. We get to a point in our recovery where we don't want to repeat the crazy cycle anymore. So I was at a point going to recovery meetings. In my anger, I assaulted my son. As a result of assaulting my son, it scared my family. For my family to protect themselves, my wife got a restraining order and kicked me out of the house. I kept going to recovery meetings, and I finally figured out, you know, maybe I did something wrong. You know, maybe that was a consequence of my bad behavior. And then recovery said, well, you know, identify your character defects, start to make amends, and God can heal those broken pieces. And God was faithful in my life to do that. I've been back home now 6 years, and God's still recovering the brokenness. It's not all leave it to Beaver, you know, they lived happily ever after. We have to keep working this thing to make the relationship work. But you get to a point, you know, when I was separated and hurting, you know, I'm separated from the ones that I love, but I had hurt the ones that I'd love. I didn't want to keep repeating the same mistakes. So I had to be open to teaching to confront my faulty thinking with the truth. So I kept showing up. I went to step study. I started to identify what my parts were, and I learned what the antidotes to my character defects were. One of the great promises in step six is that it's God that's going to remove my character defects. You know, with my own strength and my own thinking, I can try to white-knuckle it and change my behavior, but I still have the internal turmoil. So once I start working recovery, I find out that it's not my strength that's going to get me through recovery. Rather, it's God's strength that's going to get me through. The next letter in the acrostic is I for identify. Identify those character defects in your life. You know, you've made your, if you're in step study, you've gone through and you've done that work. So I've identified the things that you have to do. So in my life, I had to identify that I had anger, but the anger was caused by selfishness. And if I didn't get what I want and how I wanted it and when I wanted it, I would start to use control and shame to manipulate the ones that I loved to do life my way. So that's my character defect. So if I can identify it, God can say, well, instead of controlling somebody, why not bless them? Why not use words of affirmation? So I learned that the antidote to a critical spirit was to use words of affirmation. So for each one of you, you've got life issues, you've got character flaws, you've got defects, you've got habits, you've got sins in your life, and through this process of recovery, you'll find out what those things are, so you get out of denial, and then better yet, you'll find what to replace that with. The great part about Wednesday night, when we go to our small groups right after this, is that that's a safe place for me to confess my brokenness to my brothers in Christ and to find hope and to also share some of the victories that I'm having in my life. So I encourage you to keep up that good habit of going to group on Wednesday nights. It's going to benefit your soul. The next letter in the acrostic is C. C is to change your mind. Is there a scripture verse with that as well? Let's read this one, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. So when I was separated, a lot of people gave me free advice. Even my family members gave me free advice. And if I would have followed the advice of my family members, I would have taken that separation and then headed for a divorce. But thank God, I didn't listen to the ones, my own siblings. I didn't listen to my own family members that were telling me just to cut your losses, walk away from it all, start over. I didn't do that. I thanked them for their advice. I searched God's word. Eventually, I got a sponsor, and I got some perspective on my life, and I found out what my part was to do, which was to start to make amends. So the changing of our minds is a constant thing. You know, the renewing of our minds and the change of our minds is not just a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. So if you'd like to add something to your daily spiritual program, you know, read Scripture. If you read Scripture every day, you know, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes, it's going to confront your faulty thinking with God's plan for your life. And that's a very, very beneficial thing to do, is to confront our faultiness. And that will start to change my heart and show me that I can have a godly heart and I can have godly characters and that this is possible. You know, when we do become believers, we do have a new nature becomes alive in us, but our old nature is constantly at war. Because remember, we have a spiritual adversary that wants to steal our victory and wants to steal our recovery, and he wants it to be broken. But we can't listen to that voice. We have to confront that with godly thinking and with scripture verses. So the world does have a plan for your life, and it's for selfishness and emptiness, and we don't have to listen to that. Next letter is T for turn. Turn your character defects over to Jesus Christ. So you know what the character defects are. You've identified them. And now we have to give God our brokenness. And we just have to confess it and be honest about it. And God will take our honesty and our transparency, and he'll take that brokenness and he'll replace it with wholeness. So in my case, the son that I assaulted, God has started to restore that relationship. You know, when I confessed to him and sat him down and said, you know, hey, from the time you were a little kid until you were a teenager, I was harder on you than the other kids. I judged you more harshly than everybody else. I was unfair. You know, that was wrong. I did bad parenting with you. And I'm really sorry that I did that, and with God's help, you know, I'm not going to use shaming, I'm not going to use control, I'm not going to use physical violence to get my way with you anymore, you know, and I'm really sorry for that. And that amends took more than one time. You know, as he's ready for it, I can repeat my amends to him, and that broke the distance between us and brought us closer together. Same with my broken marriage relationship. You know, I had scared my wife because of my bad actions. But, you know, Scripture tells me to make amends and to not be in denial and not to justify my behavior. You know, when I told other men what I had done to get physical with my son, 99% of them agreed with my position. They said, you put him in his place, you won, that was being Mr. Macho, that was the right move. I mean, even policemen that I told, this is what I did to my son, they said, ah, you did the right thing. You know, I did the wrong thing. And the sooner I could admit that I did the wrong thing and start to make amends, the sooner God could start to heal that brokenness. So we turn our defects over to God, and He is going to start to do the restoration in us. There's a Bible verse, I don't know if you have it on your handouts, it's James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. There it is. So when we admit to our own shortcomings, and we say it out loud, and we do an amends, and we sit down with people, and we tell them what our part was in doing the wrong, God will start to heal that. I had worked at a high-tech software company, and I got laid off from that job, but I had a lot of resentment towards my manager, my general manager, and I'd said a lot of bad things about them, and I knew that in recovery that, you know, if I had harbored bad feelings and I'd wished someone harm, I should go make amends with them. So I got a hold of this guy and just laid it out for him and said, you know, I've been really holding a huge grudge against you, a huge resentment against you, and I just wanted to apologize for that bad behavior and for the, you know, talking about you behind your back badly and making fun of you. You know, I just laid it all out to him. To my surprise, he just said, well, I never even knew you thought about that, and it's no big deal to me at all. You know, so he just blew off the whole amends. I was secretly hoping that he would make his own amends to me, but you know what? He didn't. And that's not even why I was faithful and I did my amends to him. I just did my amends to him because I had sin in my life, because I wanted harm to fall on this other person, and I wished him ill, and that was ungodly. So my part was to identify that and get rid of it. So that was a character defect, and I had to address that. You know, in your life, to get perspective on how you might do amends, it's really recommended that you spend some time with your sponsor, you know, to find a sponsor and to say, hey, you know, this is something that I've done wrong, and I want to make up for it. I want to make amends. What do you recommend? So get some insight from your sponsor on how that would look for you. The next letter in our acrostic is O, for one day at a time. We have a scripture verse with that. Let's read this out loud. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. So you see this sentiment a lot in recovery, one day at a time. It really means that, you know, I can have sanity one day at a time. So when I'm in a place and I'm hurting, like I'm separated from my family and I'm hurting, you know, what can I do? I can call on God. I can ask for peace of mind just for that one day. You know, if you're in a situation that's unpleasant, it's difficult, and you're just going through living hell, you're just going to ask God to give you strength and hope for that one day. You know, God can't change your past that got you into that difficult spot. He can't change your life 10 years from now, but He can comfort you today. So try and live in today. And if your mind starts tripping, you know, like when I was separated, I kept thinking, well, you know, what if my wife closes the bank account? You know, what if she cancels the credit card? You know, what if she does something irresponsible while we're separated? Then I'm going to ratchet it up. I'm going to do this. She's going to do that. I'm going to, you know, if you start playing chess in your mind and playing out the future before it's happened, you know, you're dwelling on the wrong thing. You know, just stop yourself. You're not living one day at a time. You're not living in the present. The other thing that one day at a time starts to teach us is that you might have acquired lifelong habits, and God's healing for your life could be instant You know, God is able to just snap his finger and instantly heal the hurts in your life. I truly believe that. You know, God is in the healing business. But for most of us, he uses a process of time to change us and to heal us and to comfort us. So we keep doing this recovery thing and don't leave until our miracle shows up. You know, I had to be separated from the ones I loved the most for 14 months, you know, because of my bad behavior. You know, I never want to go back to that. So I want to enjoy the peace I have with my family today, and I want to keep coming to recovery so I don't drift back into those old habits that got me that brokenness. So if it seems like recovery is going too slow for you, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Just because your external life isn't coming together, you can still have some inner peace and some serenity. As you give your brokenness to God, he will meet you where you're at. He will give you enough hope just for today. He'll fill your tank up just for today. The next letter in the list is, which one are we on? R. Recovery is a process. Recovery is a process. If you set too high of a standard for yourself, for your recovery, you can start to become perfectionistic and legalistic. If you compare your recovery against somebody else's recovery, you can start to covet. So there's some pitfalls that you should look out for in your recovery process. You know, don't compare yourself with somebody else. Just ask the Lord, how would you like me to recover today? What should I receive from you today, Lord? The other thing you hear in recovery circles is progress, not perfection. As you're in small group, we always encourage you to have accountability partners. Very often, an accountability partner can see change in your life before you can see change in your life. So a great accountability partner will affirm you and will say, I've seen change in your life. You know, you handled yourself differently. You know, you didn't get road rage today. You know, you didn't get a speeding ticket this month. You know, you were sober this month. Your accountability partners can see that. Your sponsor can see that. They can let you know that you're on the right track. And that will help you enjoy your progress. We're not out for perfection here. Is there a scripture verse with recovery? Let's read this out loud. This is Philippians. And I am sure that God who began a good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. I get really excited when I see that because it's God doing a work in me. God's working in me. God's restored my broken relationship with my son. And with my family. When you go to group, you will hear story after story after story of people that have brokenness, but now they're healed. Next week, we're going to have a testimony. So every other week, we have a teaching and a testimony. When you hear these testimonies, you find out all these dire circumstances that people got themselves into, but how God restored it. Even though they had made mistakes, God had restored it. And God can restore your life no matter what situation you're in. The last letter we have is a Y, and that's for the word you. You must choose to change. So my first year in recovery, there wasn't a lot of progress because I wasn't really into it. You know, I had really not signed up to the program. I had really not yielded myself to what God wanted. Do we have a scripture verse on this one? Let's read this one. God gives strength to the humble, So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. So when I first got into recovery, I just thought the process was suspect. I didn't like the hokiness, the acronyms, you know, the 8 this, the 12 that, the 6. I just fought it. I just thought, well, you know, those steps aren't even in the right order, and why is it 12 steps? And, you know, I just kept fighting it. I kept thinking, well, you know, there's better examples, and I could do it better myself. And as long as I was fighting the process, God was not able to change my heart. So I finally stopped criticizing it. I started accepting it. And you know what? I just started looking around, and the people that I saw the most change in their lives, they were not fighting the steps. They were following the steps. They just said, you know what? I've made my own life a mess. With my own best thinking, I've made it a mess. I need some outside help. I need God. I need God every day. And so when I started following the steps, then I started to see real change in my life. And people started telling me that they saw change. So if you think that the steps are about self-improvement, you're missing it a little bit. So you go to the library, and there's a lot of self-help books, you know, to make your life better. Celebrate Recovery is not self-help. It's God help. You know, it's God help me. Ron, his favorite prayer is help. Help me, God. That's a wonderful prayer. You know, now that I'm in recovery, I'm calling on God's name more now than I ever have in my whole life. I'm becoming more dependent on him. The only codependent relationship you should have is upon God. You know, God will change your heart. He'll change your life. He may not change your circumstances. You know, in recovery, we don't think that your life is going to come together because you're following the 12 steps. We know that your spiritual soul will come together. Your eternal being will come together if you follow recovery, and if you call upon the name of God. God will sincerely honor your willingness to follow his plan for your life, which might look a little bit different than your neighbor's plan for their lives. Let me close with a prayer. Lord, we've read scripture verses. We've read some principles. We believe that your Holy Spirit is here among us right now. We believe that your Holy Spirit is inside every single believer. We believe that your Holy Spirit is able to convict us of wrongdoing and to encourage us to godly living. I know I can't change me, but I depend upon you to change me every single day. I yield to your plan for my life, and I give up my plan for my life. And I thank you for the victory, the sobriety, the peace, the serenity, all the good things that you have for me, I know you have for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here listening tonight. So we live and go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.